obviously, we all know here at Raymond Bible Church, the first Sunday of every month that we always celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through communion. You know, we don't always speak on communion, but most of the time, if I speak on the first Sunday, I want to talk about communion because, you know, this is our memorial service to our Lord and Savior because it's because of his death, burial, and resurrection that we have life. You know, and this is our time, a memorial service. Now, obviously, this week we've been seeing a lot of memorial service. You know, the tragic accident that happened last Sunday, Kobe Bryant and his daughter and seven others were tragically killed in a helicopter accident, you know, and many people have been mourning, and, you know, and it was a shock to a lot of us. And I think what's even more tragic than Kobe dying was his 13-year-old daughter and the other kids, you know, because that's their legacy. I mean, they have so much of a future in front of them. But it's all you know, it's always tragic to hear someone died of a young age. I mean, I remember Princess Diana, whenever she passed away, you know, it was always tragic. You know, some of you probably remember Elvis. Some of you are old enough to remember John F. Kennedy, you know, and no matter how old people are, I mean, you know, my grandfather was 87 when he passed away, and it was, you know, it was a shock to a lot of people, although he actually prophesied 7 months beforehand. But we didn't realize that he was prophesying his own death. You know, and it's always tragic, and there's always memorial services. But I was thinking about this. When Jesus Christ died, you know, there was no memorial service. I mean, we don't even read about, I'm sure the disciples were weeping, but we don't read about anything else. Now, I want to go back, and I do want to say this in conjunction with the helicopter accident. You know, I don't know what happened in their case. And first of all, whenever you heard the news, the first thing I always think of, I'm sure most of you did they know Jesus? Did they know Jesus? And you know, from what I read on social media, and in fact, in 2012 at the London Olympics, a minister actually asked Kobe face-to-face. He had a chance, and he said, "Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And Kobe answered the word, "Yes. Yes, I did. I've done that a long time ago." And of course, he had an interview where he talked about God is good on ESPN. You know, and I don't know about their lives, and you know, and I believe that you know that they didn't. He knew Jesus. And I believe that they're in heaven today. Amen. But I want to say this when it comes to life. I mean, life is something. You know, life and death are things that are certain. I mean, if the Lord tarries his coming, we're all gonna die. You know, hopefully, you know, 120 years. So that's my mom confesses every day we're gonna live 120 years. So that's that's what I'm shooting for, I guess, because, you know, when it comes to situations and circumstances, never let your own timing dictate a situation that you don't want to be in. For instance, you know, other helicopters were grounded that day, and for whatever reason, they decided to fly. Now, I don't know if they had a check or didn't have a check, but I will tell you, any time that I'm going to fly or I'm going to go anywhere, drive or any kind of, I always pray and ask the Lord to, you know, you know, give me a check or to give me peace about a situation. And I never believe in getting on an airplane, driving in a car without having peace about it. You know, I know for, you know, we obviously, our ministry has a personal has an aircraft, and we have given our pilots the distinct privilege that if we shouldn't fly, we don't fly. They make the ultimate, you know, they're the ones that make the choice. Then again, you know, if I have a check, I'm not going to do it. I don't care if I'm going to miss a meeting. I don't care. You know, missing one meeting is not good, but missing the rest of the meetings that you were scheduled is really bad. You know, being late for a game or missing a game, you know, is not really good, but missing all the rest of your games is really bad. And so in the grand scheme of things, you know, missing a meeting, missing a game, missing a vacation, missing something, it's not that bad. And I always, you know, I mean, if I get a check, I don't do it. In fact, a number of years ago, we were in was with my grandfather. We were on a crusade, and actually, we were in Phoenix, Arizona, And that afternoon, the way we normally do it is after service that evening, which is usually a Friday evening, that we'll get on the airplane and fly home. And that afternoon, I was praying and seeking God, and I just had to check about not flying home that Friday night. So, I called the pilots and asked them, because there was some weather I saw, and I called the pilots and said, well, no, it's okay to fly. We're going to fly. And I called my grandparents and says, I'm not flying. I don't care if they're going to fly or not. I don't feel good about it. I'm not going to fly. So I didn't even pack my stuff. I'm just, I'll take you guys to the airport, but I'm not flying. Now, you think that's kind of crazy because my grandfather, because I asked him, I said, are you going to fly? He goes, absolutely, I'm going to fly. But see, my faith is not his faith. Don't put your own faith in somebody else's faith. I mean, I'm not him. He can miss it. He said, that's Brother Hagin. He can miss it. He's human. All right, but I'm not going to put my faith in his faith, and I don't care, that everyone thinks he's a man of great faith, and he was, and but the thing about it is, my life is my life. All right, well, what if I missed it, and it wasn't a big deal? Well, you know what? I still live to tell about it. No, what actually happened was during the service that Friday evening, I got a text from the pilots, and they decided, they said, it's not really safe to fly, so nobody ended up flying that night anyway, and so we all, went back the next day. But you know what? It didn't matter whether they said they're going to fly or not. I was not going to get on that airplane. I was going to gladly drive them all to the airport, put them all in the airport. The next day I was going to get on Southwest Airlines and fly to Tulsa because it had a nonstop flight. Because you know what? I'm not going to override a check. And I want to tell you, we shouldn't override a check. I know my grandfather talks about one day they were fellowshipping with some folks, some other ministers, and they were supposed to leave, and said that, you know how whenever you're leaving somebody, how you're sitting there talking in the front, you're standing in the door talking, and they were standing actually in the driveway, they were talking, and all of a sudden my grandfather says, we can't leave now. Let's go back inside. And, because he got a check that they shouldn't leave. About 15 minutes later, he said, I feel we can leave, so we can go ahead and go. And on the way back to their hotel, that they saw that there was a car accident, there was head-on collision, and people perished that day. And if they would have left 15 minutes earlier, they probably would have been right in that same spot. So never override something on the inside. And that's not my sermon today, but it's something that we all need to think about. Because just because we have a meeting, just because we have a function plan, our timing doesn't matter. It's okay as long as we follow after what we feel on the inside of our heart. I know people that are alive today that were supposed to be in the Twin Towers because something on the inside said to stop and get breakfast before he show up to work today. I know people that were supposed to be at the Murrow Building in Oklahoma City and weren't there. I also know people that didn't want to go end up dying, perishing in that. And they kept feeling that they shouldn't go, but they went anyway. It's always important to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. But going back to our memorial service today about Jesus Christ and him crucified. I mean, think about this. Many mourn when people die, but, we rejoice in his death. I mean, he was a man, according to theologians, about 33 years of age. So, he wasn't really old enough to die. I mean, and if he was the biggest superstar that ever walked the planet. I mean, we talk about a celebrity dying. He was the biggest celebrity ever at the point in time. And his death would be tragic if it wasn't so awesome. And I was just kind of comparing and contrasting and thinking about, a person's death and Jesus Christ's death. Do you realize every time I say the words, thank you, Jesus, I'm saying thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth. Thank you for dying upon the cross. Thank you for rising again. Thank you for being at the right hand side of the Father. Thank you for being with me each and every day of my life. That's what thank you, Jesus means. You know, every time I say thank you, Jesus, I think about communion. I think about what his death, burial, and resurrection means to me. But you know, his death really shouldn't surprise anybody, because if you look back at the Old Testament, his death was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. But even in the New Testament, do you realize in each gospel that Jesus Christ predicted his own death or talked about his own death 3 times in each gospel? We'll read from Matthew's gospel, the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 16 is the first time that we see it in his gospel. The 21st verse, Jesus was there with his disciples. Matthew 16, 21, New Living Translation says this: "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly." So it wasn't a secret. He said plainly. I mean, he told them, you know, that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests and teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. All right? I mean, this is Matthew chapter 16. You know, it goes on to say, but Peter took him aside. So Peter took Jesus aside and said, begin to reprimand him. I mean, think about this. This is the disciple reprimanding his master. It's like your kid reprimanding you. All right? And the reprimander is saying, for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. So here it was, Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples, and he said it plainly, so it wasn't a secret, that you know what, I'm going to be killed. And not only am I going to be killed, but it's going to be the priests and the teachers of the religious law that are going to take me into captivity. I mean, he predicted his own death. But he said, I'm not going to just die, I'm going to come back on the third day. It wasn't a secret. You know, going to Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23, again he says, after they gathered again in Galilee, they meaning him and his disciples, Jesus told them, the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies, and he will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead, and the disciples were filled with grief. So obviously, you know, the disciples heard this. Peter called them aside. Here it says they were filled with grief. Now, if we, you know, were there, we would know it's going to happen. Jesus said it's going to happen. I mean, it wasn't a shocker. I know many people, you know, were shocked to hear the news the other day. I know I was. Many people probably thought it was an internet hoax at first. But it shouldn't have been a shocker to hear about Jesus Christ, because Jesus said what was going to happen. And he said it, you know, more than once. The third time in Matthew he talks about it is Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 17, says this: as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. He told them what was going to happen to him. He said this, listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem. So, you know, they're on the way to Jerusalem. He said, this is what's going to happen, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die, and they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. So 3 times, Jesus talked about what was going to happen. So it shouldn't have been a shocker whenever it happened. I mean, you know, like I said, if you follow after the Old Testament, that you'll see that as well. But you know what? Once again, in Matthew is the only one that has the fourth time. But Matthew chapter 26 and verse 32, he doesn't talk about his death, but he talks about his resurrection. He says, Matthew 26, 32 says, but after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. So three times he talked about his death. He talked about, and all three times he talked about being raised from the dead on the third day. And here, the fourth time, he talks about, after I'm raised from the dead, I'm going to go to Galilee to meet you. So he was pretty specific. So it shouldn't have been a shocker when things played out the way they did. But you know what? His death was our life. It was because he died that we live. You know, and like I said, when people die, we mourn their death, but we praise Jesus' death. I know it's interesting how we look at his death differently than anybody else's death. Because his death meant our life. His death meant our victory. His death, because he died, we can live. His death was the beginning of our life. And, you know, it's such an awesome thing. And even, you know, going back to the Old Testament, from Isaiah talks about it, Isaiah 53. I'll read from the New Living Translation, which I've never have read that. Starting with verse number 3, it says this. It says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole, and he was whipped so we could be healed. You know, and you think about that when Jesus was beaten with the cat of nine tails, and what a gruesome experience it was, and how gory it was. And I know whenever they've had movies that depicted it, you know, people have kind of got grossed out because of it. But they say every movie that's ever been made wasn't as gross as it really was. And it might have actually looked gross and looked terrible, but it was so wonderful because it was because of his stripes that we were made healed. And that he suffered for us. You know, that's why it really bothers me when people tell me that they're suffering for Jesus and Jesus put this sickness or disease on them or whatever. I can't stand to hear that because Jesus suffered so much so we wouldn't have to suffer. He took the pains so we wouldn't have to be in pain. He took the sin so we wouldn't have to live in sin. His life, his death, his resurrection changed our life. You know, and sometimes we don't even think about it. Sometimes we just live our life, you know, we don't think about it. And I mean, that's why that we at least choose once a month to celebrate the life of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times people only think about Jesus at Easter and Christmas. We think about him being born and him dying. But it's because he lived and because he continues to live that we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, we know our future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. You know, there was no memorial service. People weren't putting flowers at places or whatever. You know, but the thing about it is, everybody knew what was going to happen. In fact, do you realize the reason that they put guards at the tomb was because they knew what Jesus had said was going to happen? It wasn't a secret. They knew they knew what he said, and so they said, well, you better put guards there because the disciples will try to steal his body and act like it's, you know, a thing. But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, we hear the old adage, you can't keep a good man down. But Jesus was a good man. And you can't keep him down, and no soldier is going to stop God from his plan. You know, and speaking of people's death, I mean, you know, you can go to the final resting place of many celebrities and kings and rulers and presidents and you know, heads of religions, and you can see their final resting place, and you can mourn for them, and you can think about their life. But when you go to the tomb where Jesus Christ was laid, it's empty. Because Jesus is not in the tomb. He lives. And that's why his life is different than anybody else's life. You know, we don't mourn for him. We praise God for him. I mean, what it meant for him to die. You know, and many people say, well, so-and-so lost their life. But you know, when Jesus lost his life, we gained ours. On the cross, you know, his very last words was, "It is finished." You know, when you think about that, what does that really mean? I mean, does that mean that's the end of him? And yes, maybe it does, but what it meant was that it was the end of your suffering. It was the end of your suffering. That we didn't have to suffer anymore. When it was finished. And yeah, I don't know the whole process for the 3 days when he went down to defeated, you know, Satan, and I don't really care. All I know is that he rose again. And he appeared to his disciples, and he spoke to them, and then he rose to the right hand of the side of the Father. And the Spirit of the living God dwells in us if we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And it was a death like no other. Although he was only 33 years of age, his death was prophesied. I mean, think about what his death meant. I mean, his death meant that the universe was set back in order like God intended to back with Adam and Eve. I mean, he wiped away all the things that happened, and, you know, everything had become new because of Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, I know it's hard to imagine our life without Jesus. It's hard to imagine, you know, but I mean, think about all those years between the fall of Adam and Eve until Jesus Christ died upon the cross. You know, all those people, I mean, you know, all they heard was about a coming Messiah. But Jesus Christ, he did come. He did live. He did die. And like I said, he could have died on the cross for our sins, but he took a step extra. Or extra, Dad likes to say. He took those stripes on his back. And by his stripes, we were healed. You know, and sometimes we think about this, you know, when we're suffering with sickness or disease and thinking, you know, well, when are we going to be healed? But we already have been healed according to the word. We're going to be healed when we accept our healing. Healing belongs to us. You know, the Bible says to forget not the benefits. We have so many benefits because of the cross, because of his death, because of his burial, but mainly because of his resurrection. Because you realize if he wouldn't have rose again, nothing would have mattered. Nothing would have mattered. And yes, there was no memorial services for him after his death. No one was putting flowers at some kind of place. But praise God, since the day he arose, we've been having memorial services over and over again. And not a day goes by where I don't think about it. And not a day should go by where you shouldn't think about it. Every time I say the words, which I say them very often, "Thank you, Jesus," I think about the cross. I think about his suffering. I think about what he did for me. I think about how much he loved me. That he took that pain. Because you understand, he was a mere man. I mean, you know, we feel pain just like he felt pain. And it wasn't easy. In fact, he told the Lord in his last, you know, few moments before they took him away, "Lord, if there be another way, if there's another way, let's do it. But there is no other way." there was only plan A. You know, in life, there's only plan A. Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. Jesus Christ, he rose. Jesus came that you might have life more abundantly. There's only a plan A. He only wants you to live an abundant life. He only wants you to live a good life. He only wants you to live a healthy life. But you have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. At the time he died, no one celebrated, no one mourned. But because he lives, everybody celebrates. I mean, do you realize, you know, because of Jesus and what he did, I mean, you know, the Easter, we call it Easter holiday, everyone celebrates Easter. Everyone celebrates Christmas. Because of Jesus. You know, and I think it's good that we take at least once a month to together as a church family to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection together. So if you can't remember it any other time of your life, you remember it the first Sunday of every month. I get to wear my communion shirt. Some of you probably have noticed I wear this shirt. I do have a couple of black shirts, but this is my special communion shirt because you can see the blood. You can, you know. You know, some of you might not know it now, but the first thing I thought about when I got the shirt was communion. And I wear it most communions. I do have a couple other black shirts that I do trade every once in a while, but this is my special communion shirt. And in fact, one time we were taking pictures or doing something, doing TV, and trying to figure out, you know, coordinate my sister and I. And my sister goes, "Wear your communion shirt," because she knows exactly what my communion shirt was. But you know, it's not just about wearing a communion shirt or being happy or whatever. It's about Jesus. It's about remembering Jesus. And that's what we're doing today. We're remembering Jesus. We're remembering, you know, his death, but also we're remembering what he's done for us. You know, and life is worth the living just because he lives. He's not dead. He's not dead. He's alive. You know, and what's interesting is he's alive. His spirit is alive in us. And where we walk, he walks. I mean, you know, how many times has he talked to you? And you say, "Well, you don't talk to me." Well, you need to talk to him. He wants to talk to you. He leads us. He guides us. He shows us the way. You know, and today is an awesome day. Today is a day we get to celebrate Jesus. But every day should be an awesome day. And you should celebrate Jesus every day, whether you take a communion, you know, or not. You know, and sometimes people think, "Well, I can only think about Jesus, you know, and his death and his burial and resurrection when I take communion." You know, I can think about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection every day of my life. Like I said, in one simple phrase, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And see, don't let thank you, Jesus be a habit. I know a lot of people get in the habit of saying, "Well, thank you, Jesus," or whatever. Shouldn't be a habit. When you say thank you, Jesus, you should be thanking Jesus for what he's done. Thank him for his life. Thank him that he did suffer on the cross. Thank him that he does love you. And he cares about you. And I think the thing that I think is most awesome about Jesus hanging there on the cross, when he looked out at those that had betrayed him, and he said, "Lord, don't hold it against them. Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing." You know, it just shows his love and mercy and goodness toward all of us. You know, maybe sometimes in your life that the Lord had to say, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." There's times that we do things we shouldn't have done, say things we shouldn't have said, act in a way we shouldn't have acted. But praise God that he forgives us for our sins. Praise God that he sets us free. praise God for everything that he's done in our life. And so every time you take communion, I want you to be serious. I want you to think about Jesus. But every time you say the words, thank you, Jesus, think about Jesus. Don't just say it because it's a habit. I don't know how many people that wake up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And they're not any more happy than they were before they said it. In fact, they go downstairs and gripe at their kids and their wife and everybody else because they got up on the wrong side of the bed. You know, they said, well, you know, it's before I had coffee or whatever. You know, everyone has excuses for something. But man, you know, the only time that we think about Jesus shouldn't be in church. The only time that we're thankful for what he did for us shouldn't be in church. You know, and I just thank Jesus. You know, his death was like no other. You know, it could have been a tragic death. He was only 33 years of age. But it can't be tragic whenever it was prophesied for years. And where he even told us what was going to happen. Exactly what was going to happen. And exactly what he said happened. Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive. And he lives in all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for his life. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifices he made upon that cross. We thank you, Father, because his stripes, we are healed. We thank you, Father, that our sins have been taken from us because of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because he lives, that we can face tomorrow. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And today, during this communion service, we just say a special thank you for Jesus. But Father God, as we pray here, if there's someone here this morning that's here in this room and does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, that they'll make him Lord and Savior of their life. Or if there's someone here today that once knew the Lord but kind of turned their back and went away, we thank you, Father, that they'll come back today with heads bowed and eyes closed, looking around the auditorium. If there's anyone here that says, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I want to this morning, lift your hand and we want to pray with you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, please lift your hand, because today you can know him. You can know him like never before. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, at one time I knew Jesus. I walked with him, but I've turned my back. I went away, and today I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. If that's you, lift your hand. If you're here this morning and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, lift your hand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Amen. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. We thank you, Father, for that they will make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of their life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.